Romans chapter 12 is where we'll find our place. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to look at a couple different passages as well, so you can maybe be ready to turn to the book of James and 1 Peter. They're right there together. So if you want to put your bulletin or something there in Romans chapter 12, once you find your place in Romans chapter 12, then maybe just look over and put another marker there in the book of James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And then you won't be too far away to mark the next one. It's just the next book over. It's 1 Peter. And that's going to be chapter 5. So we'll look at James 4, 1 Peter 5 here in a minute. But we're going to start off in Romans 12. Is anybody confused yet? Okay. All right. We're going to do our best. Romans chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. We've already preached through verses 1 and 2, and with the Lord's help, we'll pick up in verse 3, and we'll see how long or how much the Holy Spirit leads us to go through this morning with the time we have allotted. All right, let's pray together first of all. Lord, we want to come before you right now with open hearts and open minds. We want to come here, Lord, with a focus, with a hunger and thirst for your word. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us, Lord. These precious folks before me have come this morning, and I have no doubt that they're hungry for your word. And I just pray that you'd fill their cup today, Lord. I pray that you'd give them just a word that's just specifically for them, and that they would be able to take from today's service and to be able to use it for the furtherance of the gospel, and Lord, even for the furtherance of their walk with you. Lord, would you bless us with a spirit of revival this morning? Oh God, thank you for the singing this morning, and Lord, how precious it has been. Lord, we commit our lives to you right now, and all the fruit, Lord, that it will remain. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. This morning, with God's help, I want to preach a message to you entitled, By Humility and Love We Serve One Another. By humility and love we serve one another. You'll understand the context here is that the Romans were facing some of the same obstacles that the Corinthians were. They had spiritual gifts, but they did not have spiritual maturity. And my friends, it is possible to be spiritually gifted by the Holy Spirit of God and remain spiritually immature. And so, as God's people, we have to understand why that happens, and more importantly, how to avoid it. Because we're no different than the Corinthians. We're no different than the Romans. We're in the same boat. We are all born with an inclination to care more about me than anybody else in this world. And so therefore, Paul is saying here, because you have presented your lives, your body, a living sacrifice, as we preach, that one time official offering of yourself that you always go back to and understand that decision after salvation. And then we understood how there is a presentation, but then verse 2, we talked about the transformation. Last week we talked about that transformation takes place through the renewing of our minds. And what renews our minds? The Word of God. Your brain needs a bath every day. And it needs a bath by the Word of the living God. It needs to be purified. It needs to be tried. It needs to be matched up. Is my thoughts matched up with the character of Jesus Christ? That is indeed what He is going for here, because that's what we're being transformed into, is the image and the life of Jesus Christ here on earth. But there are obstacles. And He covers it right here in verse 3. He says, I want to tell you, brethren, by the grace that's given unto me. And basically, he's referring to his apostleship, his authority to preach and to write this letter. He says, I want to tell you that everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You say, do we struggle with that? Well, of course we do. I mean, no one is exempt from this obstacle. You see, because of the sinful nature, it is all based off of one major sin, and that's called pride. Pride. Pride will hinder us. In fact, it is repulsive to the Lord God Almighty. In fact, the Bible says that God hates pride. He hates even the look of pride. He says He despises, He hates even the haughty look of an individual, someone that carries themselves as someone who is better and more important than others. We see that God resists that type of person. And in order for us to understand that when this presentation of our lives came to the Lord, and then the transformation taking place through the renewing of the Word of God. And by the way, remember how often that's taking place? How often is that taking place in your life? How often are you letting the Word of God just wash through your heart and mind every day? I can't overemphasize that, brethren. I beg you, let it run through you daily. Plug in the Word of God. Read it in your Bible. Let it be preached on the radio and or in your house. Be in services as many times as you possibly can. Just please don't ever underestimate the importance of always saturating yourself with the Word of God. It's that important. It will help you. Now, of course, you know, I know, and I know you know, that just because you have a lot of the Word of God does not automatically secure a sanctification. But, my friend, it gives you a wonderful starting place. Because not only do we have to hear it, but then we have to heed it. And that's taking it in and letting it get in where we are every day and meeting us there. I thank you for your testimony this morning of just having your place. So what was the problem? Well, there were people in the church in Rome that were obviously gifted with different gifts. And we'll look at those. Seven are listed here. We have other gifts that are listed, spiritual gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. And we also find the spiritual gifts listed in Ephesians chapter 4. And we also see them listed in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to see how they are alluded to. And there are at least 16 that we read over in those two chapters. And then also there's probably more that we don't even know about, that probably aren't even listed. But the Holy Spirit gave us the ones we needed to be aware of and to know of. And we're going to talk about that. But obviously, some people just thought that they were just a little more gifted and better than others. And what Paul is saying here in verse 3, he says it four times, in fact. If you notice there in your Bible, he says not to think, all right, of himself more highly. That was one. And then he says it ought to think again, but to think, that's three. according to every, to deal, excuse me, hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He's going to bring it up several times here in this one verse about what it means to take evaluation or estimation of yourself. It's important. He says, judge yourself righteously, because no one should value himself more highly than he ought. How many of you here have sold something on Facebook Marketplace? Anybody like to do that? Yeah, all right. Or maybe eBay, or there's other avenues. I don't know. There's other things that you can sell, and maybe just having a yard sale for that matter. How many of you have ever had the wonderful privilege of selling a car that you didn't want any longer? Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, you know, you can go down the line in these different ways. Well, I noticed something anyway in my life, and maybe you've noticed it in your life. But when it comes to selling things, don't we normally value the things we're selling more than the person buying it will? You ever notice how that works? I find that amazing, you know, when you say that this is, even though I'm wanting to get rid of it, this is very valuable to me. But the person that seems to start pointing out, well, I noticed that right there. And you're like, yeah, yeah, well, there's nothing really wrong with that. It's easy fix. Well, what about this over here? Yeah, yeah, I know, but that's enough. And they just seem the value keeps going down, down, down. You know, it's true. We a lot of times we do that, and that's natural. Okay, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. You value something. It may, depending on sentimental value, it may have different types of reasons why it's valuable to you. But we all do that. But and I'm not being critical of you, but it is wrong when we overestimate our value to what we are, to the local church, and to the kingdom of God. It is a sin to think that you or that I am more important than the brother or sister beside me. It's wrong. That is not biblical. We have different functions, my friends, but our value is the same. We, if you've been born again by the grace of God, are sinners that are saved by grace, and then you realize as you go forward, you are in the process of being transformed, as we read about in verse number 2, by the renewing of the Word of God that's filled with everyday repentance. It does involve failure. It does involve restoration and reconciliation. It involves all those things. But my friends, the Bible is clear. Don't ever think yourself better than another. Why? Because that's pride. Where did pride originate? Satan. Started in heaven. Started in heaven. God did not create pride. It was started in heaven by a man, an angelic being by the name of Lucifer. Lucifer was a glorious created being who was perfect, as Ezekiel says, was perfect in his ways from the day he was created. And it says, until iniquity was found in thee. You see, this beautiful and powerful and intelligent and gifted cherub fell from his perfect estate, his perfect home in heaven, when his heart was lifted up because of his own beauty and brightness. You see, he was no longer willing to be submissive and subservient to the Lord God Almighty. And that's this incredible pride that came into his life that he allowed was to blame for this tragedy in heaven. And Isaiah tells us in chapter 14
how thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne, I will sit also upon the mount, and I will ascend above the heights. I, get this, will be like the Most High. That's the spirit of pride. You see, self-will was displaced God's will. And then the devil emerged. Brethren, don't ever forget this. Never forget what the word devil means in Scripture. It means slanderer, adversary. And anybody who is got pride in their life will make it their mission in life, if they don't say it, they will actually live it, that they are better than those around them. And they will make that vocal if they have to make themselves look better. That's what he's saying here. People in the church had gotten to a place where they thought they were better. And there was a need to be humble. There was a need to be humble. There was a lady in the church who came to the pastor and said, Pastor, I'm really, really concerned. I'm really bothered by something in my life. And I gotta get some counsel, and it's a struggle. And of course he said, well, what seems to be the problem? And she went on to explain to him, look, I realize how beautiful I am. And I just have a problem when I'm coming into the church. The other ladies don't hold a candle to my beauty. And I don't want to be thinking that way. And the pastor said, ma'am, that's not a sin. That's a mistake. And you know, it's both a mistake and a sin when we think that we're better than anything over anybody. But the truth of the matter is, that stinking sin of pride can easily creep through the local church. And if we're going to go forward on to verse number 4 through verse even 21 of chapter number 12, we have to understand it all flows and exudes from a spirit of humility. From the child of God who sees himself no better than anybody in the church, but says, I am simply a servant who has presented my life a living sacrifice unto God, and I just want to be used for the glory of God. That is where we are. And as been said before, the ground at the foot of the cross is level. There are no superiors. There are no inferiors, only equals. We understand that is what the Bible teaches us. Now, let me show you those few verses there. Can you hold your place there in Romans 12? Romans 12. And go over to James. We said we were going to look there. All right. Let's look there together. James, and then we'll look at 1 Peter. Notice James 4. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 6. It says here, but he giveth more grace. Hallelujah for that. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the what? But giveth grace unto the... Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see the importance we in this passage we see here, ladies and gentlemen, is that it is clear through Scripture, it is explicit that God will not respond to people with any inkling of proudness, of pride. And therefore, we need to make sure it's not in our lives. It is coming before Him humbly every day, realizing that we are not where we should be spiritually. We're growing. We're being transformed. We are seeking to learn more about Him and learn how we can serve Him better. But the fact of the matter is, I know that when we humble ourselves before the Lord is pleased. He pours grace unto those that are humble. You want your life filled with grace? Just humble yourself before the Lord every day. That just brings who you are to God and say, God, I'm yours. I don't want control of my life. I don't want to act like I know how to handle life better than you. I don't want to take life into my own hands. That goes back to Romans 12:1. I present my body unto you, my mind, my soul, and God, I want you to have every bit of it. And that is where God just pours His grace into your life. And it's sweet. Go over to 1 Peter. Notice 1 Peter. First Peter, chapter 5, verse 5. He says here, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you. He's getting general here, everyone. Be subject one to another. That's to each other. And be clothed with what? Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the and giveth grace to the. He says, therefore, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Wow. I tell you, being clothed with humility. I mean, hey, I'm glad, you know, you wore what you wore today. I'm sure you took time to pick that out. Some of you, it may took a long time. Just, what am I going to wear today? I picked out this yellow tie and this blue shirt and gray suit. I said, well, it was like work today. And I know men and women do that differently. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I've heard that it could take longer with women to pick out, you know. But, you know, that depends, I guess. But nevertheless, we all took that time to find out, okay, what do I need to wear today? A lot of it depends on the weather. Hey, it's 80 degrees in Georgia again. Okay, here we are in December. But when we find out, okay, I'm just glad you took time to pick out what you're going to wear. But I want to tell you, the most important thing that the child of God could have brought to church today and any time and anywhere he goes is to be clothed with humility. There's no greater virtue because all the blessed graces will flow from the spirit of humility. Seeing myself is no better than any of you. In fact, being willing to say with the Apostle Paul, I'm the chiefest of all sinners. Oh, my friends, it's coming saying, God, if you can use me, thank you. I want to be used. But I don't want to think of myself any better than anybody else. Maybe you're going through something right now. Maybe you see yourself as more deserving than what you're going through. Maybe you think of something more deserving than what you're experiencing. I don't know. But really, we don't. We have received the grace of God. It's a gift of God. And I thank God for it because I can't earn God's grace. He gives it freely. Amen. I don't have to start a payment plan.
for the grace of God.
No, my friend, it was given freely through Jesus Christ. You see here, it's obvious, brethren, that we have to be careful. And that leads us into what I want to say here this morning when it comes to making sure that as we look at the spiritual gifts, that we're letting them be used for the Lord and not for ourselves and not to boast in and not to brag in and to use in some kind of carnal manner. But notice what it says here. It says, but to think soberly in verse 3. To think soberly. What that word means, it means to think reasonably. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You have to realize, first of all, that the gifts that God's given you and the ability that God's given you and the things that you have, listen, God gave them to you because He didn't have to, because He wanted to. You didn't earn the position that you have in this world. God allowed you. He blessed you. He enabled you. You say, well, I worked hard for that, preacher. I studied hard for that. God gave you the ability to do that. That's where humility comes in, because if you're not careful, it can creep in. I earned that. Well, God wants us to work hard, but He wants us to give Him the glory. And there must be a sweet balance there. And He certainly gives us clear instruction here in the passage. Notice with me, He says here that He's dealt with every man the measure of faith. Now, that means every one of us has been given a measure of faith. What does that mean? Well, there's a couple different takes on that. I find it interesting. I do believe that there is an element of faith that we speak of in Scripture, that it talks about the faith, which is referring to the Word of God. And I do believe that every gift that we have and every ability that we have, we find, first of all, through the Word of the living God. And everything that's spelled out for you and me that we can do for the Lord Jesus Christ in His blessed book. And it will not be outside of His book. Because some have claimed through the years, well, listen, God has actually gifted me with this, and there's no such thing. A special revelation of God, an extra revelation. Well, I'm telling you, it's better be a measure of the faith. That means it measures up to the faith of God's holy word. If it's outside of God's word, that means it's out of measure. You got these measuring tools to measure the tuning pianos, and the Greek word there is actually the same word, those instruments that are used. And it's your faith is measured indeed by the word of God. And He goes on to say here, notice with me in verse 4. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So here we are as a family, as a body of believers. We don't all have the same responsibility, do we? We don't all have the same office. We certainly are in the same family, in the same body, but we have different functions. And notice verse 5. It says, and being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Don't miss that right there. Can you underline that in your Bible, the last part of that? We are a body of Christ, but then notice it says, every one members one of another. Now that's interesting. A lot of times we don't look at that. We say, I'm a member of this church, and that's right. That's okay to say. I'm a member of this church or that church. But let me say this. We're also members of each other. You say, well, that doesn't quite sound right. This hand and this right hand, they're members of one another. These fingers to this hand are members of one another. These feet, they all have different functions, but are members of one another. They work together, don't they? These knees, although
They're not what they used to be. You say, Pastor, how old are you? I'll tell you my age. I'm 43 years old. And someone says, well, you're young. Well, and then they say this, wait till you get to your 50s. And then wait till you get to your 60s and your 70s. Yes, they start wearing and tearing and they start giving you issues and some more than others in certain parts. But here's the thing. The idea is the body is still functioning together. They are still members of one body for one purpose. And our purpose is to be in Christ and honor and glorifying Him. And then verse 6, he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, these different gifts are going to be up to the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just list these. There's prophecy, which is foretelling, giving forth the word of God and truth. And then there's also, notice this, he says, let it be the proportion of faith. There's that truth again. And let it be of the word of God, based upon the word of God. But then also there's ministry. That's the same word we get where we get our deacons. It's the idea of the service, and it carries the idea of here just being a servant in the local church wherever needed. Some were gifted with that. Then he that teacheth on teaching. That's the idea of explaining truth. And then there's some that are gifted with the exhortation. That's the gift of encouragement. That's the gift to make application to the Word of God and to be able to encourage people with further light on that they can do it, what God's called them to do. And then there's also he that giveth. That's God has gifted some people with the gift of giving and allowed them to do that. And he says, let them do it with simplicity. In other words, not as a showboat. Not to get attention to yourself or to do it deceitfully like Ananias and Sapphira. But then there's also a gift that rules. That's someone that has the gift of administration or managing. It could be in the idea of as far as a local church with a pastor, or it could be a Sunday school teacher. It could be a ministry. It could be anything of that nature. There's a gift there, but it says do it with diligence. But then there's also he that showeth mercy. There are those that just show mercy. They have a certain measure of sympathy and empathy that they have with others that perhaps they're sick physically, maybe even spiritually. And their heart just goes out to them more so perhaps than others in the church. And by the way, of all these gifts, that does not mean we are exempt from following these Bible truths. But it's just interesting how the Holy Spirit gives a special dose, if you will, to certain members throughout the body different ways. Now, here's one thing for sure. Everybody in this church has got a gift. Everybody. If you know Jesus, you have one of these spiritual gifts, or we also know some back in 1 Corinthians 12. And the Lord wants you to use it. And there's two ditches on the side of the road here when it comes to pride. There are some that say, I'm gifted. Oh, preacher, you plug me in right over there. I'll help you there. Oh, yes, I can do that. I'll do that. Oh, I can probably do that better than anybody here. You get me. There's that idea that I'm the arrival and I can do it all. That's pride. And look at my gift. Look how God's gifted me with the intelligence I have and how I can expound on Scripture. And somebody may say, well, the way I can, play music in a way or whatever the case may be. You can go down all kinds of applications, but then there's the other side of the road. What does that pride say? That's a false humility. You know what it says? I can't do anything. I stink at anything I try. I'm just a failure. I can't do it. I'm just no use. That's a false humility, which is pride. God gave you a gift, and whatever, and you know what it is, because you're good at it. All right? What are you good at? You're good at something. You may be good at talking. You may be good at listening. You may be good at just helping, whatever the case may be. You may be good at some of those things I listed out. We could go to 1 Corinthians, but there is some spiritual gift there. And I want to tell you, let God develop in you. And the more you're hungry, and going back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, when you present yourself a living sacrifice, I'm telling you, you will see that gift flourish. And my friends, my encouragement to you this morning as I get ready to close, listen, just let God blossom you. Just blossom right where you're planted. Just bloom right there, because the Lord is wanting to use you. Just avoid pride. And we will avoid pride, because as we're going to see here in verses 9 through 16, we're going to see how this humility and using these gifts comes out in everyday practical life. And it indeed is the operation of the local church. It is that evidence of our faith just living out openly for the Lord. Let me mention a few things here about pride and humility. You see, pride grieves the Lord, but humility secures grace. Pride will set you up for a fall, but humility prepares the way for God's favor. Pride blinds you to your wicked ways, but humility opens your eyes to your wicked ways. Pride will keep you from seeking God's face, but humility encourages you to seek God's face. Here's another one. Pride will make you cover up and hide from others. Humility frees you to be transparent and honest. Pride is quick to detect pride in others. Humility is quick to identify pride in oneself. Pride makes you critical. Humility makes you compassionate. Pride hastily applies preaching to others. Humility is quick to internalize preaching. Pride deals with sin in general. Humility deals with sin in specifics. Pride brings crustiness and hardness. Humility brings pliability. You see, pride makes the faults of others look big and my faults look small. Humility makes my sins look big and the faults of others seem small. Pride makes me look down on others. Humility makes me look up to heaven. Pride keeps me from asking forgiveness when I have been wrong. Humility makes me eager to humble myself when I have done wrong. Pride covers sin. Humility discovers sin. Pride barricades you from God. Humility demolishes the barrier between you and God. Pride builds a wall between us and others. Humility builds bridges between us and others. You see, we understand, brethren, that the great sin of pride hinders us from doing the will of God. And there is no greater thing for you and me this morning than to make sure that as we have presenting ourselves to God as a living sacrifice and we renewed our mind, we come to the Lord with clothed with humility, saying, Lord, I am nothing, but if you can use me, Lord, I ask you to do it. I want to be used for you. I want to be used in my church for your glory, my family, my neighborhood, my community. Lord, I will be used of you however you see fit. There's no job too little. There is no problem with that. God, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. And may the Lord give us a great blessing as we seek to do that together. Let's pray.